I thank God I do not miss that. I remember calling the hospital. Isn't there anything someone could do? I don't know. I think they were laughing at me on the phone. Hey, Bill. Oh, it was horrible. Oh, what an idiot. What an idiot. God. Number four, no one's asking you for tithes and offerings. Doesn't mean you'll have any money. It's just, you know, you won't be sitting, you know, you won't see the plate go by. Number five, the temporary thrill of material abundance for some. Not following Christ doesn't mean you're going to get everything you want in life. But for some, they enjoy that for a season. They really are not fulfilled by it. How many of you guys ever heard of Mylon Lefebvre? Christian rock artist. Okay, I'm dating myself. Back in the 90s. Heather, did you raise your hand? Well, you know, you live with Dave, so. 80s? It was 90s. Give me a break, man. I'm not that old. All right, 80s and 90s. Oh, yeah, stop. I got to move on before I get in trouble. Mylon reached the pinnacle of success in Christian music. He literally toured the country and the world playing Christian music. And back in the day, he was the big deal. He was invited to spend a weekend with John Lennon in his castle over in Europe. And while he was there, because Mylon was a successful musician before he became a Christian. He'd already was a like studio musician. He was touring with everybody. Then he became a Christian and rose to the top of the Christian music industry. So he was spending the weekend with John Lennon. And they woke up in his castle one morning. And John Lennon says, tell you what, bud, if you can think of anything we can do today that I have not already done, no matter what it is, if you can think of something I haven't done, we will do it today. And he couldn't come up with anything. And yet, although the world was literally his oyster, John Lennon was not a fulfilled man. He was an empty man. This world will not do it for you. Jesus said, what does it profit a man if he gains the whole world but loses his own soul? Profits nothing. So, those are the benefits for not following Christ. Now let's get down to brass tacks. Let's get serious for a moment here. What is the cost of not following Christ? What is the cost of not following Christ? Number one, meaningless and futility in life. You remain under the curse. Life will never satisfy you, and everything that good that seems to happen to you will ultimately turn sour because this world is under a curse. Number two, no fellowship with God, no assurance that we are secure in His love. I used to pray before I got saved, but I never had that assurance to know that I was His. And I used to hope, oh God, if you're there, please help me. I've done it again. I'm in a mess. Get me out. But no intimate friendship with God and assurance, confidence that we are secure in His love. Number three, no grace from Him in the daily trials of life. I remember days before I got saved where this happened and that happened, the other thing happened, this other thing happened. I was so irritated by the time I was driving home that I was literally ready to come busting out of the car screaming at the world out of frustration in my life, unable to deal with the daily pressures and grinds of life. Number four, guilt about the past and the secret sins of our life. I don't know what you have in your past, and some of you have not lived a long life, but it doesn't take long to do things that we are absolutely ashamed of, that torment us, that haunt us. Number five, fear about the future. What are the consequences of my sin? Or simply, what is in store? You know, we live in a very dangerous world. Most of you guys look like, you know, you've pretty much escaped some of the horrors of this world. I mean, you know, you have all your limbs and, you know, you're able to think clearly and things. But we live in, frankly, a very dangerous world. And none of us knows what the next moment will literally hold. And I pray God to give us grace. I don't want to call any curses down upon us. But outside of the grace of God, how do you know what's going to happen to you today? Or tomorrow. on a plane or in a car or within your own body. We prayed for a brother today who has his last chemo treatment. Praise God, by the grace of God, this should be his last chemo treatment, and we are thrilled beyond words. But how do you know what the doctor will say to you one day? But in Christ, we may not know what the future holds, but we know who holds the future. Number 6, the cost of not following Christ, the brutal ups and downs of an unstable life due to impulsive living. Instead of living in the principles that are laid out, you know, when people don't choose not to follow Christ and they just live by impulse, do you know what kind of life that brings? I talk to folks in my office all the time. Oh, John, I need prayer. I've done it again. You know, you spend like there's no tomorrow when the bill comes due. You drink like there's no tomorrow and suddenly you can't stop drinking. You do drugs like there's no tomorrow and all of a sudden your psyche becomes unraveled and you start having psychotic moments. You live selfishly and abusively and all of a sudden your family collapses, your family just disintegrates around you and you find yourself alone and you wonder what's going on. The brutal ups and downs of living by impulse. Number 7, bondage to addictions. I don't know how many former addicts we have in here. If you want, you can raise your hand. I guess maybe emotional addiction, yeah. Physical addiction, amen. How what a nightmare. What a dark pit with no outlet. Addiction to spending, addictions to alcohol, addictions to drugs and narcotics, sexual addictions, relationship addictions, the slavery of that. Jesus said, whoever commits sin is a slave to sin. Whoever practices sin ultimately becomes, you do it because you think you have the freedom to sin, when ultimately it only brings you into slavery. Number 8, the fruits of a rage-filled, violent life. Shattered relationships, possible jail time, and lost children. I don't know how many people have ever grown up in a house or currently live in a house where violence is the rule of the day. Where your life is filled with people screaming at each other at the top of their lungs and hollering profane, abusive insults at each other, trying desperately to wound the other person worse than they've been wounded themselves. I don't know if you've lived that nightmare, but that's part of the cost of not following Christ, because we have no self-control and we live in relationships in which we rip each other to shreds and we wound each other's souls, where we emotionally bleed for years. And if that wasn't enough, number 9, banishment from the presence of God in the torments of hell forever and ever and ever and ever and ever and ever and ever. I don't know about you, but the benefits of not following Christ, I don't see how they possibly are worth this kind of a life. What in the world? Why in the world would anybody trade the beauty and glory and fulfillment of Christ for this? What possibly is in this world is worth it? It's pretty amazing. In the last several weeks, let me just lift this up out of this pit for a moment. In the last several weeks, 6 celebrities have died. I don't know if you could name them off the top of your head. I had to think about it for a while. Let's put their faces up there. Michael Jackson, Farrah Fawcett, Ed McMahon, Billy Mays, Carl Malden, and I just found out last night. Anybody know who that is?
Yeah, somebody.
Oh. Thank you, John. Say it loud.
Gail Storm.
Gail Storm.
And Steve McNair.
Yeah. Steve McNair, 7. Huh?
Oh, yeah, that's right. And David Carradine died just a couple weeks ago.
David Carradine, 8. 8 people. 8 celebrities. Not just anybody. 8 celebrities in the last several weeks have died. You know, usually here it comes in groups of 3. I guess this is just a bad year. 8 celebrities have died. And I think about How much money? I mean, these were all celebrities. What was their accumulated total net worth? It's staggering. Michael Jackson, at one point, because I listened to an old sermon of mine where I happened to tell everybody that he was worth almost $1 billion at one point in his life. Michael Jackson alone. Think of the accumulated combined net worth of these people. Do you know how much Michael Jackson left behind when he died? Thank you. Who said that? Dave. Yes. All of it. How much did Michael Jackson leave behind? All of it. All of it. How much did Farrah Fawcett leave behind? All of it. How much did Ed McMahon leave behind? All of it. How much did Billy Mays leave behind? All of it. How much did Carl Malden leave behind? How much did Gale Storm leave behind? How much did David Carradine leave behind? How about Steve McNair? How much did he leave? Every last penny. I don't care how many billions or millions or thousands this represents, every last penny remained here when they left. And as Jesus said, what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world but loses his soul? They all left all behind. The only thing that we can take with us when we die, the only thing we take with us when we die is what we send ahead by surrendering it to Christ. If you give it to Christ and let Him use it for His glory, it goes on ahead. You will receive your reward on the other side. If you are not saved, when you die, you lose everything. But if you are saved and have been living for Christ, when you die, you enter payday because your reward is waiting for you. Paul literally said that. He said, for me to live is Christ, to die is gain. And the Greek word there for gain literally means like payday. He said, I've been waiting for payday. Anybody ever been waiting for payday? You know how desperate you can wait for payday sometimes? Is it Thursday yet? Payday's coming. There is a cost to following Christ, but the cost of not following Him is infinitely, immeasurably greater. And the cost of actually following Him cannot be compared. Cannot be compared. The cost of following Jesus Christ cannot even be mentioned compared to the immense benefits that happen when you give your life to Him. You leave behind literally nothing in order to gain everything. Praise God. Praise God. Let me close with this real quick thing. I told you that I would show you how the letters correspond with the book of Acts, how you can go from one to the other. Remember a guy named Crispus? Who was Crispus? Ruler of the synagogue. Paul wrote a letter to Corinth several months later in 1 Corinthians 1:14. See if you recognize any names in there. He said, I thank God that I baptized none of you except who? Crispus and Gaius. Lest anyone say I baptized in my own name. He's saying, yeah, that guy that got saved, that ruler of the synagogue, I baptized him. Now, that's kind of cool. But here's what's mind-bending. A few verses up from that, at the very opening of the letter, 1 Corinthians 1, verses 1 and 2. I, Paul, called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ through the will of God, and Sosthenes, our brother, to the church of God, which is at Corinth. I'm getting chills. How cool is that? The dude that got beat up, he apparently decided the cost of not following Christ wasn't worth it. And he not only gave his heart and life to Christ, he is now traveling with Paul, writing this letter from Ephesus to his old buddies back home in Corinth. Sosthenes got saved. And if Sosthenes has enough sense to know that the cost of not following Christ is not to be compared with the benefits of following Him, shouldn't we be able to make that same decision? Shouldn't we have enough reason to see that Christ is worth everything? Let's go in prayer. Let's close in prayer. Father, I thank You for Your amazing word. I thank you beyond words for what you have given us in Jesus Christ. I just pray you would quicken this truth to our hearts as we go, Lord. Make this real in our lives. Don't let us miss this. If there's anyone here who has never taken the opportunity to simply pray and receive Christ as your Lord and Savior, and you'd like to seal that deal today while our heads are bowed, if you want to slip your hand up, I would just like to pray with you for a moment. If you've never taken the opportunity to do that, and you'd like to do that today, feel free to just slip up your hand, and I would just love to pray with you for a moment so that you can receive Him now and seal the deal with God, belong to Him forever and ever. If there is anybody listening to this message electronically in the future through our website or through a CD, as you're hearing these words now, if you would like to pray to receive Christ as your Savior, you can use your own words, but you can just use these words and just say this to the Lord with all of your heart. Lord Jesus, I'm sorry for my sins. I want to live for you. I believe that you died to save me. I believe you died for my sin and that you rose from the dead. So please come into my heart and my life right now, Lord. I surrender to you. Come in and save me. Give me new life and wash my sins away. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Well, celebrate. You know, if you are born again, if your name is written in that book, man, you have so much to be excited about. Man, I would just encourage you to wake up in the morning with a smile on your face and say, God, here I am. What do you have for me today? I want it all. Praise God. And while we're at it, while we dismiss, I would just encourage you to love on someone today, man. Just go up and give them a hug. Just tell him you love him in the Lord. Amen. We're dismissed. Thank you guys very much.